Hilda.
Pressure.
We want to introduce Rod Dunson to you. He's the former chaplain for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and he has come to share with us. His wife is Rebecca. They're both raised in Regina, and he says they've had a number of opportunities to be uprooted from Regina, but Regina they refer to as their home. And he's going to tell you what he's doing now full-time, and he's going to share a little bit more about who he is and what he has done and what he is doing. So we invite Rod to come forward now, and thank you.
I did say hi to most of you, but hello, I'm really glad to be here. I Regina Christian School is a Christian school in Regina, and they have their high school retreat yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so they've asked, they have a speaker that speaks last night, this morning, tonight, it's a warm morning, and that half speaker is me. So I just came from speaking to a bunch of high school students, and delighted to be here. In fact, you know, I remember the first chapel I did with the Riders. I had no idea what do you say to these football guys. What do you in the locker room? What do you say? But I remember before I spoke, I said to them, you know, that I was honored to be here, glad to be able to encourage you guys. But I want you to know that I'm just as happy when I speak to teenagers, seniors. It doesn't matter. I'm just like you're breathing. I like it. Because I didn't want them to. What I wanted them to know is what happens when you get cut. You're no longer a writer or a pro football player. Are you still valuable? The truth is yes. I have friends. Remember 3-4 years ago, a training camp. The name of a guy, Dan Sheffield. You wouldn't know him. He didn't make the team. But I met him at training camp when the camp was in Regina. This was in 2012. And, I mean, he spilled mustard on his Rider sweatshirt, and, you know, that's kind of embarrassing, I guess. So we took his sweatshirt home, and my wife washed it, and brought it back to him, came over for a meal. But, you know, he didn't make the team. But it's interesting that to this day, we're still in touch. He has sent me to Father's Day. And, you know, after knowing him for 4 weeks. But people need to be cared about and loved and to know it without any strings attached. So whether you're, you know, an achiever or a high school student or a writer, a former writer, or whatever you are, I care. It's an honor, privilege to speak to anybody, especially about God. Like, what? I don't take it lightly. So yes, born and raised in Regina, never lived anywhere else, had opportunities, but always felt God had us stay here. I left two companies that were downsizing, you know, wanted me to transfer to, say, Calgary. It would have been a promotion because I would have been overseeing Saskatchewan and some other things, but just prayed and felt God said, no, stay in Regina. Where am I going to work? Trust me. I'm going to jump ahead and just say that little lessons like that we learn help us, you know, as we get older. About 2 years ago, I was working with Bayshore Home Health. So this is a home health care company, Canada's largest home health care company. I was the manager of the branch on Albert and 14th. I had been a youth pastor and a young adult pastor for 10 years. That was from 1996 to 2006. And of course, it's 2016 now, so I haven't done that for 10 years. But there was a period of 10 years that I was full-time ministry, pastoring here in town. And so I knew what that was like. I was back in the business world. Here I was at Bayshore. We were working with people. That's what drew me to it, working with people. But in my office, I remember there were times I'd stand up in my office and I'd just think, this isn't who I am. I knew God's call to full-time ministry. So at that time, I had been already helping with the chaplaincy of the Riders. This was, I started that in 2013, the year we wanted to break up. And it wasn't because I was there, because I was also there last year when we won 3 games. So yeah, amazing how many people say to me last year, you must not be praying hard enough. I said, well, you didn't tell me when we won the Grey Cup, how awesome of a Christian and prayer I was then. So anyway, I didn't take any credit for either wins or losses. Anyhow, sidetrack. So here I am in my office, and you know, Athletes in Action, and an organization, a sister ministry to Athletes in Action called Leader Impact, were wanting me to go full-time, doing both roles. And Leader Impact works with marketplace leaders in the community. So that could be people at the ledge, could be business leaders in the community who I have relationships with. It could be anything like that. So the problem was is that you have to build your own partner team. It's not like, you know, here's this salary, and like lots of companies, it's, well, here's the remuneration. Here's how you get paid. You have to build your partner team. Well, my heart, because I felt God was calling me to do that, but my heart sunk when I was told that. And I thought, I can't do this. I can't do that. But I told you about how we learn lessons about being able to trust. I knew that God was speaking to him. It was clear that was God had opened the doors, paved the way of these relationships, for these relationships. And the only thing that was going to hold me back was fear. Like, could I not trust him? I remember God's, in my heart, speaking to me after they offered me the role. And then they left. The next day I was in my office discouraged. You know, I know this is what God has actually called me to. Like, I believe that. But God said to me, you could trust Bayshore Home Health, where I was working, or any other company to take care of you, because they just put paychecks in your, as long as you show up, right? They put paychecks in your bank account. You know how that works, right? So you can trust Bayshore Home Health or any other company to take care of you. What if I want to be your boss? Can you trust me? That was it. And you know what? At that point, I didn't know if I could say, well, of course, Father, I'm a trusting child. It was, I don't know. But I did not want to look back and say in my life when I'm now 56. I didn't want to be 60 or 57 or 70 and look back at that time in my life and say, what if I would have done it? Like, I didn't want to look back and say what held me back was fear. I'm going to try and trust God. So full time what I do now. Of course, I was the chaplain for the Riders for 3 years when Chris Jones and his they came on this year and made a whole bunch of changes on the field and in the office. Even though I'm a volunteer working with Athletes in Action, Chris wanted to start over in a lot of areas, including this one. So the good news is that I had Leader Impact working with marketplace leaders in the community. That was growing, the busyness with that. Yes, the chaplaincy was busy, but also when I looked at leadership in our city, I recognized that the police service is a key role of leadership. We need them. And what they go through is interesting. So I had to talk with the chief, and I told him at that time I was still the chaplain with the Riders. Anyway, make a long story short, I'm also a chaplain and volunteer with the city police. So I had the police, I had Leader Impact, and the Riders. The good news is, even though the Rider thing closed down, I mean, I have lots of, I'm still very busy. I was probably too busy before. So I have lots of time to pour into our police and our leaders. I'll just say this, so you know. About 3 weeks ago, I was invited to, this is God's grace and God confirming that I think that I'm on the right track, to attend a meeting of the, I can't say everything about it, but of the most influential leaders in the province. There was a room of about 20 some. It was at the Ledge, that's all I'll say. And I was invited by the Premier to open this meeting in prayer and with and to encourage these leaders. That was very humbling, but a great opportunity. First of all, that our Premier wanted that. And he's become a friend. And I'm thankful for that. So anyway, I went and I encouraged them with scripture and I prayed for a blessing over them. And so there's all sorts of other, you know, things that are involved with leader impact and what I do now. But what I want to, I was going to set my timer and I forgot to turn it on. Oops. So how many more minutes do I have just so I can set my timer?
One.
Serious?
You have 12.
Oh, good. Okay. So what I really wanted to talk about was, I was raised in a church school. It was Catholic school. I went to Deschay Elementary School, and then La Bolde and Campion. Campion closed down, and then they moved us to La Boldes when it first opened. And so I had heard about God my whole life. And yet, you know, I was busy playing sports. I was for two things. Basketball, football. It's the only reason I went to school. Well, there was one other reason. To be a class clown. I remember being told when I was younger, grade 7 or grade 8, my mom telling me. So they had the meeting at school with the teachers, which was always, I can't emphasize this enough, the worst day of my life. Whenever that was, I had a bunch of them. There was a whole bunch of years I went to school. And one time, my mom came back, and my dad, and they said, so the principal at Deschay School, elementary, grade 7, said, never in his 27 years of teaching has he ever had a student like Roddy Donison. Well, that, he didn't mean a student of excellence. So, just on that note, once I sort of became a bit more responsible, I gave my heart to God when I was 22. I was born again. Amazing time in my life. When I'd see teachers that I had from the past, I would always go to them and say, I'm Rod Douglas, and Roddy, I'm sorry. And it was interesting because almost everyone would say, well, you weren't bad. You just like being a clown. It wasn't starting fires. Anyways. But maybe I'm just trying to make myself feel better by saying that. But anyway, so that's a bit of who this guy was. But I think one interesting factor that I want to highlight and finish with there's five of us kids in the family. So a mom and a dad and five kids. I was right in the middle. I don't want to make a big deal about being the middle child, but I was. The brother that's just older than me died 10 years ago, cancer. So there's four of us left. But for whatever reason, I did not have a relationship with my dad. Nothing. I'll give you one example. Like, I just did not see. I mean, my oldest brother and I were good friends, still are, best friends. He taught me everything I knew about sports. Randall is his name. He helped me. I'm 3 years younger. You know, that was always good. But, you know, my dad would go to his games, watch, but never really, you know, just didn't matter, right? My little sister, she'd play. He'd go watch her, but I don't know. My dad didn't really come to mind, but that's okay. I kind of hardened my heart, I guess, towards it, whatever. It probably just fueled me to even do better. But if he did come to a game, I could score 27 points And but it would be, well, what, like, that shot, remember that one shot there? Like, why did you miss that? What? Okay, I don't know why. I'm not sure. My oldest brother and I, Randall and I, we tried out after high school for a provincial all-star team. And we were coming back home from the last practice. So we were going to be told who made the team and who did not. So Randall and I went home, and my dad said, "So, Randall, how did it go?" And Randall said, "Well, it was good." And Randall says, "Rod made the team, but I didn't. But good for Rod, he did." Here's what my dad said: "That's okay, Randall. You'll always be a better basketball player than Rod." So that was kind of like, I mean, that's one example. So these were like arrows that just over time, all the time. This story ends good. So my mom and dad are still alive, 86 years old, still live in the same house I grew up in. I love my parents. I would say a miracle happened when I was 22, when I got born again, right? When Jesus came to live within me, I invited him to forgive my sin and save me. A couple things. There was a scripture that says, and there still is a scripture that says, that God is a father to the fatherless. Even though I have an Adam father, I did not, like, that scripture just meant something powerful to me. And God, you know, the whole thing about being adopted into God's family, I'm his son, God's son. And yet, so I was the first out of my whole family to receive Christ. And that caused problems. My dad told me to F off and stay away from the family. He told me that after my oldest brother, who first tried to prove me wrong, like, "Rod, he started looking at the Bible to try to show me how, you know, I didn't really need to be all the way into God or born again." And what he found after looking at the Bible was it was true. So he got saved. He accepted Christ. He was my dad's drinking buddy. So when that happened, that's when my dad said, "Rod, you've always been doing your own thing and whatever, but now you're getting Randall into it. So F off," that's like a bad word. "And stay away from the family." So that was when I was about 25. So we're talking about 30-some years ago. My wife, her dad left her and the family when she was about 5 or 6 years old. And why that's important in my story is that she was raised in a Christian home, loving God, going to Christian school. She's not perfect, but she's pretty close. Don't ask her to describe me. I'm not telling you her name. Anyways, Rebecca helped me to understand how to forgive. She had to learn to forgive her dad. So, you know, of course, when we got married, she learned about our family. And no family's perfect. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm just telling you. So I had to, my own self, learn how do you forgive. So anyway, that was important. So we prayed for my family, prayed for my dad. Christmas would come. We have to go over to my parents' place. Oh, I just hate it. Like, it was hard because it was negative. It was just difficult. But so learning to walk in love and forgiveness was huge. So here's the good news. Over time, all of my siblings ended up accepting Christ. Remember when my little sister was going to commit suicide? She was trying to cut her wrist. She had a drinking problem. This is probably 25 years ago. My mom called and said, "Can you help Rhonda? Can you help her? But just don't talk about God." I was like, "Mom, I don't know how to help her without that. It's the only thing that's rescued me and Randall." So Rhonda ended up giving her life to Christ. She's awesome. She's great. She's doing good. It's a beautiful thing. But over time, the good news is that I would say about 4 years ago, after 30-some years of praying, extending love towards my dad, telling my dad when I'd see him, "Dad, I love you," which was very hard. I remember a number of years ago telling myself, "Say those words, I love you, Dad." before it's too late. I did not want that to him to go, or me to death, whatever, without having said those words. So I forced myself a bunch of years ago to get those words out. It wasn't something we said growing up. So anyway, I started to tell him that, and to make a long story short, he eventually gave his heart to God. And about 3 years ago, I can say about that time, that I know now, at that point, for 3 years, my dad loves me, is proud of me, and that's made, and that we're friends. That's an amazing, amazing story of redemption, of rescue, of restoration. Powerful. When I was at church, and the police chief came to church up on the stage, and I was in my full, uniform and everything that we have, and he was just symbolically presenting me with a police hat as a welcome to the police. This happened at our church. My dad came, and this was a couple years ago. He said to me, he came up after and said, "Rod, I'm proud of you." And that was one of the first times I'd ever heard that. Those, you know what happens when those words get spoken? It's never too late. It's like a whole bunch of those arrows. It's just like pulled out. I was like, wow. You know, it's powerful. I love you. Arrows come out. God's forgiveness and love covers hurt. So I don't know where you're at, if you have grandkids, kids, something around, brothers, sisters, and there's strife, whatever it is. God can rescue any situation. Any situation. I've heard people say before, when I was younger, my dad came to Christ. If he could come to Christ, anybody could. And I thought, no, you don't know my dad. But maybe we all have those kinds of situations. Because that's what I thought, if my dad, if that would be a miracle. Well, God's a miracle God. But I'll tell you this in defense of my dad. And everybody else. If this guy could ever, God could ever rescue this guy, that's a miracle, right? So I have my problems too, and have had, and still working through things. But God's mercy and grace is very powerful. And I want to encourage you just to keep doing what you're doing. To keep moving forward. I'll close with two more sentences. I was at a worship service Bible camp in the summer camp anyway, and that those sentences didn't count. And during worship, I felt like God said to me, "Encourage people in the twilight of their years to keep pursuing God, because there are some people," and it was like 50 something and up. I didn't actually get the exact age, but it was in the twilight of their years. That's all I felt God say. Because the impression was that as we get older and we get sort of discouraged by traps that we find ourselves in, or bondages, or whatever you want to call them, habits, something, we haven't seen breakthrough. God said, encourage them just to keep trusting me, because there is a day that will come where things will just break off miraculously. And the example he gave was this for me. He said it was like when you, Rod, before you accepted me, my mouth was terrible. I would swear horribly on the basketball court, on the football field, terrible. But when I became a Christian, that was one thing. I didn't have to, it was just miraculous. It just dropped off. And it's the one thing I've never struggled with since. So it was like that. If you just keep pursuing God, keep being faithful, and you'll see things. Whatever it is, if there's something, it will fall off. So anyway, thank you. I want to say, I don't know you, but I love you guys with God's love. Thank you for serving Him, for being here, for paying attention,
and staying awake.
Thank you.